if that why is not there, you will quickly just walk away from it. But if your why is strong enough, you'll push through.
Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health. My name is Emily E, and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. I am so excited to interview Robbie Ballinger today. He is a plant-based endurance athlete pushing his mind and body to its very limits by taking on the most notable and insane endurance challenges. Are you ready? One of those, a 3,200-mile transcontinental run across the U.S. That was 75 days of a journey running 43 miles a day to promote the benefits of a plant-based diet. He ran the Colorado Crush, traversing the Colorado Trail 485 miles, summiting all 58 peaks. He set the record for most loops around Central Park in a day, casually, nearly 100 miles. He recently ran 242 miles, taking on the challenge of outlasting a Tesla. You heard that right. Robbie says long-distance challenges are therapeutic, spiritual, and can become a form of meditation. And you might think that Robbie has been running all of his life, but what I found so interesting is he actually started his running journey very late in life. And I just think that goes to show you that you can take on a new challenge at any point of your life, no matter where you are, and take on the most outrageous, audacious challenges that you can ever partake in. Now, maybe you're like, all right, I'm not ever gonna run 100 miles, and I don't think I ever will either. But I am so fascinated by Robbie's mindset, and I can't wait for us to go inside his brain for him to explain what goes through his mind in these crazy runs. We're going to talk about breath work, flow state, supplements, his journey, what goes through his mind, fuel, and also getting outside of your comfort zone and learning how to break through, not just in running, not just in exercise, but in all forms of life. I am so excited to welcome Robbie Ballinger. Robbie, I am so excited to have you on my podcast today. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. It's so funny because I've known about Robbie for a really long time. And then I kind of rediscovered you too in Austin when you casually went on this insane journey to outlast a Tesla. And it was so funny. My friends and I set our alarms at, like, for six or something like that in the morning. We're like, we're going to go meet Robbie to finish his last mile with him. And then, you know, the day, I know the hours and everything changed that day, but it was just, I loved because I was following you that day. Like the Instagram, I was like looking at 10,000 page and I was like, okay, he's at this time. So all of my friends were following your journey. And it's so cool that I'm here with you now.
Oh, awesome. Well, thanks for following along. It was quite the effort. Texas really, it tested me. It was really, really hot and humid, but it was a wild good time and we got it done. So. It was fun.
Okay. So what goes through Robbie's mind? I'm going to outlast a Tesla and that's 242 miles, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to outlast the battery of a Tesla at 100% charge. Did Elon, like, did he tell you to, what was in you that said that you were going to do this?
So this one came about, it was kind of the brainchild of myself and 10,000, my apparel sponsor. We were looking for an interesting effort to kind of fill the spring part of my calendar for the year. And they asked me what I was interested in. I was very interested in doing like one of these 200 plus mile races, thinking about Coca Dona 250 in Arizona. And we just started thinking about what was another interesting way to explore that distance where we could create a really good narrative that people would be drawn to and kind of find interesting. And with that, we started looking around to find that the Tesla, the 3 Series, kind of had about a 250 plus mile range. And that was where it was born out of, was just like, let's see what it's like to put man versus machine, which is kind of, you know, this iconic storyline throughout like American history. There's been different kind of versions of it. And yeah, so this was kind of the modern man versus machine. And then it was just about where do we want to do it? And for me, coming back to Austin was a really, really important. I found that I'm, with all my big efforts, kind of very strategic in where I'm doing them geographically, and it's places that mean something to me. And I lived in Austin for 10 years. And so I wanted to kind of come home and test myself there, and knowing that Texas is pretty harsh and would definitely throw up some barriers, for which it did, again, the heat and humidity. But yeah, that's kind of where it was born out of, was that kind of bigger idea.
Okay, so what went through your head? I mean, 77 hours of running. I know you had a whole crew with you. You had your van following you. What exactly went into this to launch this journey of yours? And also, everyone that was following me, people were also asking me, like, did he stop? Did he take a break? What is this guy, a human? You know, this machine? What, you know, just kind of take me through what went on throughout this endeavor of yours.
Yeah, for this one, like, knowing, again, it would be my largest single push effort. I've done big efforts, multi-day, multi-month stuff, but not in one push where there really was no, like, overnight downtime. I knew I needed to just put forth as much effort as I could. If I was going to lay down or sleep, it would be because I was at a point of diminishing returns where it was more important to get that rest in order to get it done faster. But so really the key to this one was bringing together the right team. There were a lot of logistics that needed to be figured out prior, from like where the route was going to be, how we were going to get the Tesla from point A to point B, how we're going to get me from point A to point B. So yeah, I amassed like my all-star crew, and that kind of ended up being, for me, the theme of this was just the celebration of all these amazing people for which I've brought around me over the last 4 or 5 years in these efforts. And so we started outside of Fredericksburg, and I had my core group with me that included my wife, my father-in-law, brother-in-law, and then two of my like most like closest and best friends who are also into this crazy and distant stuff, Hella Sidibe, who ran across the United States last year, and William Googe, who's done a bunch of big efforts over in Europe. So I knew I had the right people that could keep me accountable to the effort and knew what I'd need to get it done. And from there we set out, and then along the way, there were a lot of surprises, these cameos of people who came out to support me. Some of those I knew were coming. And then my wife also set up some at times she felt strategically would really matter that could boost my energy levels and stuff. So that's what it did. And, it really just became, yeah, this like effort that was so much about the people. Like, you know, I get out there and I think a lot of people think they focus in on me and this individual doing this thing, but it wasn't me, it was we, and there was a big team that got it done. So yeah, it was really exciting and really hard, and I'm proud to have done it and kind of glad it's over.
Wow, you make it sound so easy. Which mile do you think was your hardest? Was there a specific one?
You know, with 242 of them, I can't
say. Or was there a certain terrain or a certain time of the day that was the hardest?
So interestingly, the first 24 hours was the hardest, which is something I think I was only able to get through because of past experiences and understanding how ultra works and how there's ebbs and flows, and it can often be that way. But starting off on the first day, it got really hot and humid really fast, and it quickly approached like 95 degrees, and I think it was like in the 80% plus humidity, and it really did a number on me. Having trained up in Colorado, I had the advantage of altitude, but I hadn't been able to train in heat. And it just zapped me really quickly. I definitely went into some hallucinatory state around like 12 to 14 hours in. And then throughout the night, I think it was due to the lactic acid buildup from the heat. There was like, it had kind of puddled in my stomach and was creating like stomach cramps and dry heaving. So throughout the first night, I had a really hard time bringing on fluids and food. So that was definitely the most challenging. And then as the second day came on, the ebbs and flows started to be a little more frequent. The first 24 hours were just downright awful. And then after that, there were ups and downs throughout. But yeah, the first day was definitely the hardest.
How often do you take breaks or walk or, you know, eat?
So walking wise, it's really depending, like, terrain varying, you know, uphills. I've learned that, again, talking about like diminishing returns, there's a point where it's better to power hike than to try to run. So, you know, there's definitely some walking going on. Food wise, the plan was to consume between 400 and 500 calories every hour. A lot of that I was doing while moving. Later into the effort, there was definitely more sitting down, like every 2 miles during the heat of the day, just for a second, just to like collect myself, get in some fluids and keep going. But then as far as sleep, I didn't really, like, I guess if you say technically sleep, there was no sleep really. There was 4 hours and 50 minutes of downtime, for which I utilized NuCom. NuCom is one of my sponsors, and it's this neuroscience technology that allows your brain to drop into alpha and theta waves on command. So essentially, I go into deep meditation without really knowing how to meditate. And that's where like the most restorative rest happens. So cellular recovery, parasympathetic nervous system takes over. So we were able to utilize that. So total 4 hours and 50 minutes. And I think it was over 5 different times. The longest one being 100 minutes and the shortest being 20.
Is NuCom, is it a supplement or is it, what? How do you take it?
So it's a 3-part system with the core being these neuroacoustic beats. So essentially it's a patented wave technology that is app-based. So you push an app and these tracks come on, you have headphones on, and that manipulates your brain down into these alpha theta waves, along with this little biosignaling patch that goes on your wrist. And it has an electrical charge in it that sends a little message to your brain to start releasing GABA. And GABA is what we release as we start to fall asleep. And then you put an eye mask on. So those 3 parts, when you lay down, it starts to take you down and bring your brain down into this more relaxed state. It's super interesting. It's very applicable to endurance events, but also just in everyday life. It lowers your stress levels and anxiety quite a bit. So I use it as an athlete, but also just as a human. Essentially, imagine if you had a meditation practice, like how much more grounded you would feel. And this allows you to do that without knowing how to meditate.
I have to check it out. I also think that translates really well into running, because I think when you run, you do have to get in a sort of meditative state. And I think that is so interesting that you said the hardest for you was the first 24 miles, because you think it would be the last 24 miles. But what I think is so cool about running and just moving your body is once you get into your flow state and you just feel like you're in your own zone in meditation, I think it's a really special moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was the first 24 hours, not miles.
I meant hours.
And I think that's an important thing for people getting into running to realize is like, it usually sucks the most at the beginning. And then you find your flow state. You know, I think you used to call it the runner, you know, it's the runner's high, which used to be thought of as endorphins. I think now they've found it's actually endocannabinoids. So, you know, it's kind of like smoking weed after like, the first couple of miles. Relaxed, meditative state. It's really great. So, yeah.
I thought you'd been running your whole life. Little did I know your wife got you into it, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I'm 37. I started running when I was 29. We had just started dating, and I was running bars and restaurants throughout my 20s, and had just started a new venture in Austin, Texas. It was a pizzeria, and in those years of restaurants and bars, I was really just partying a lot. There was just a lot of time spent out at the bars in Austin, Texas.
Easy for that to happen.
And I really enjoyed that time in my life, but I was just at a juncture where the responsibilities of my job were not like, I wasn't able to do the best I could at that because of the partying. And she invited me out on a run, and I quickly found that the running kind of hit the same nerve as the partying did, but it was a much more healthy and, you know, sustainable way to kind of live. And so quickly just started to just change that equation. Like, it was like, I wanted to do well at this job. I enjoyed running. If I enjoyed running, I couldn't stay out at the bar at night. And progressively, it just kind of transferred, that energy transferred into running instead.
And, did you love it right away?
I did. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I went on a 2.5-mile run with her, for which I had to get a cab home. It was all I could do.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. That person could have seen you now.
Yeah, it progressed pretty quickly. I mean, it went from that to like a half marathon 2 months later, a marathon like the next year, and then I got into ultras within like the first 3 years. And then it just, yeah, it's just kept progressing. Eventually I left those restaurants. We moved to Colorado, and that's when I got like real serious about running and ended up in the position I am now, where I do these big, crazy efforts and, you know, have sponsors and all that fun stuff.
Wow. And this is, if you're, you know, listening, it's kind of like, if you think you're not a runner, or if you think you're not born for something, it's like, you can get into it and find something you love and find something that makes you feel good. And it could be at any stage of your life, which I think is so cool that you found that later.
Absolutely. And I think that's like a really, you know, important aspect to just life in general, whether it be running or anything else, is to understand that we're never really stuck and we can always pivot. We can always try something new. And it always, I think, you know, I think we think, oh, I've been doing X for 10 years. There's no way I can reinvent myself. And it's like, well, 10 years ago, you started doing that. And now you're 10 years more mature. It's going to be that much easier to kind of turn and do something new. So I just like, yeah, I like to think about that for myself and other people, is like, just always be willing to morph and change, because life's short and beautiful if we let it be, but you got to like open yourself up to new opportunities.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you not only outlasted a Tesla. I know you did the Colorado Crush, the Central Park Loop Challenge, Transcontinental Run. First, what was the Colorado Crush? What did that consist of?
So the Colorado Crush was last summer. It was born out of COVID, really. Like, you know, we had that first year of COVID, started in March. And by the time summer came around in 2020, my wife and I realized that we could escape to the mountains. Like, it was a great place for us to social distance. So we were up and we were doing a bunch of 14ers. And those are the peaks over 14,000 feet in Colorado. There's 58 of them. And through that summer, we did 25 of them. And I really just found that when I was up in the mountains, I felt my best and like really enjoyed pushing myself up there. So I started thinking through like what was a big effort that I could devise to keep myself up there for the summer. Really, it was really just like a lifestyle choice I wanted. And I started thinking through, what are these big efforts in Colorado? And going back to those, the 14ers, 58 peaks over 14,000 feet. There's the Colorado Trail, which is a 485-mile trail through the mountains of Colorado. And then there's this Leadville Trail Series, which is three races over 3 months, a marathon in June, a 50-miler in July, and then culminating with the Leadville 100 in August. So looking at those three things, I was like, what can I do with these that would be interesting? And I started to think, like, is it possible to do all of these in one summer? And that was essentially what I did. So I started with the Leadville Marathon. Between the marathon and the 50, I ran the Colorado Trail in 11 days. And then between the 50 and the 100, I summited all the 58 peaks over 14,000 feet and finished with the Leadville 100. So it was 63 days, 1,200 plus miles, and 308,000 feet of elevation gain. So to put that in perspective, I climbed the equivalent of Mount Everest sea to summit 10 and a half times in 2 months.
What? Wild. What do you do to celebrate after this? Like, what goes through your mind?
initially, I slept for a while. It was just like, it was a massive sense of accomplishment. And I really felt like I really understood the mountains of Colorado after that, which is really important to me, because then in this past year, we moved from Denver right to the mountains. And I really like knowing, when I look up at the mountains, like outside my window, even as we speak right now, like I have a very intimate relationship with those mountains. And I feel very like, prepared and ready to take on more things up here. But it was just a great summer. Through that summer, we were really, that was the beginning of exploring MUCOM and seeing how it would work for me as an athlete. And it showed up in spades. Like I ran across the United States in 2019. And the fear going into the Colorado Crush was, I knew I'd be tired, as I was during the Transcon run, but the margin for error was lower. Like if I was to stumble or fall asleep while running, I might fall off a mountain. So I needed to make sure I had like the mental acuity to do it. And that's where MUCOM came in.
But, yeah. Problems. I might fall asleep during my run today. Wait, so you ran across the entire country.
Yeah, that was like my big, like that was my coming out party into the ultra world, I feel like. Like I'd done some races and stuff, but we had moved from Austin to Colorado. I was had left those restaurants for which got me into running and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and was running a lot, trying to figure it out. And series of events inspired me to decide I wanted to take on a run across the United States. So I ran in from Huntington Beach, which is just south of Los Angeles, to Central Park. So 3,175 miles in 75 days. So averaging 43 miles a day.
Wow. And now you run at least 10 miles a day, correct?
I'm not a streak runner, but you like when I go out and run, it's 10 miles plus every day. Like coming off of the Tesla challenge, I've definitely not had much structure to my running and been very lackadaisical about it. But as
I'm good, I'm proud of you. That's good. That's good.
But yeah, usually when I go out for runs, it's always 10 miles plus. When I'm training up for an effort, I do keep my training quite simple. And it's usually like, yeah, there's always going to be at least 10 miles and upwards of 20-25. Like training for the Tesla challenge, the 2.5 months before, I was trying to get in 20 plus miles 5 to 6 days a week.
Wow. It's like you're surpassing a human's capability, and it's mind blowing. And I think that, you know, it's so cool, like how you got into it super late in your life. Did you feel like you kind of reinvented a new version of yourself? Did you feel like you rediscovered a part of you that you didn't know existed?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think like my life has had a few big chapters, and this is definitely one for which I didn't see coming at all. It was definitely like a major change of events. I'd say, you know, 8 years ago, I would have never thought I am where I am now. I'd be where I am now. But yeah, it's definitely something that is a new venture in life. What did draw me to running, and especially ultra running, as I got into it in my late 20s, was the reality that people continue to get stronger and better in this sport until like their late 40s, often mid 50s. And so I don't think there's a lot of sports where you can say that, where it really comes down to maturity and like building up like parts of your body that take a lot of time, which is just like building up of the cartilage and a lot of like little twitch muscles and such. So yeah, it's fun to know that it's something you can do a little bit later in life, you know? So.
Oh yeah. I saw somewhere, it said that you're obsessed with the notion of sustained motion through space and time. And I think the word obsession is a really powerful word. My motto at Fit Food Junkies is addicted to health. And I feel like I'm addicted to health in the best way possible. And I feel like you have this insane obsession. It's an amazing obsession. How can someone find that obsession in their life that just gets them going, serves their purpose and their passion, wakes you up every day? You know, I mean, it's like you've found your obsession, which I think is in one way synonymous to your passion, but it's also a stronger word as well. So how does one find their obsession?
You know, from my experience, I think it's something you have to just do organically and can't like, you can't force, you know, like just be open to opportunities and experiences. And when you find something that does like light your fire, just follow it without any expectations or prerogative, especially early on. And then if you can do that, you don't put like pressure on yourself to where it becomes a strain on your life, and instead you can just like celebrate it, and then over time it kind of consumes you. You know, like obsession I think is a good word. Like as I got into running, I remember some people, especially some family members, were like, you know, they didn't understand anyone running as much as I was running, and they were like, are you addicted to this? And really, the answer for me was like, yeah, maybe so, but like I like it's better than other things I could be addicted to.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's that healthy addiction that I think if a lot of people tap into that more, they can be able to get away from those unhealthy addictions and refine this healthy obsession. You have this motto of just going forever. And we talked about kind of your spiritual journey in running as well. And you push your body and mind to the limit. when you're at that point where, and this even, okay, I am not one to talk, but yesterday I ran 7 miles in the heat, which feels like 100 here in Austin. You know, that last mile, it's a little foggy and I'm sprinting and it's really hot, but I push myself to the limit. And I want to know what fires you up, what gets you past those foggy miles and hours and times where you're like, I don't know if I can keep going.
That's really what I'm searching for, is to get to that point to where you've kind of whittled everything away and you're left with just your essence and just who you are at your core. And so when I find that I'm in that spot, I have to remind myself to celebrate it because I'm there. Like I worked really hard to get there. I pushed for a long time. And knowing through experience that that's where the growth happens. So once I get there, it's like, just embrace it, walk into it and say, well, here I am. Like, let's do the work to now learn and grow. But it doesn't mean that there's not doubt out and it doesn't get hard. And in those moments, there's times where I want to quit, because I could definitely do. But I think for me, what keeps me from quitting is, again, the celebration of being there and like knowing this is where the growth's going to happen, but also always like putting off the quitting until like the next mile, the next hour, the next day. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, you'll find that the hard part gets a little bit easier at times. There's always ebbs and flows to this. It's kind of the same with life. You know, I learned this on my transcontinental run, was the arc of difficulty is like not always trending in an upward direction. Like there's a point you'll get to where things start to get a little bit easier. And I think that's important to remember, whether it be just in everyday life when you have a hard day, be like, all right, well, this sucks, but maybe tomorrow's the day where it starts to drop off and it gets a little bit easier. Or when you're trying to start a new habit, like you want to get into running, I assure you, the hardest times as a runner is the first couple months when you're trying to get into it. Or whether that be like trying to quit something, like if you were trying to quit smoking, like it's sucks, but it's not always going to suck quite that bad. There's going to be a moment where it lays off and you're just normalize it and it gets a lot easier. And so that's kind of like what I try to take back into life, is that remembering that. But yeah, so it's just, it's a real spiritual thing for me. I feel like I do learn and grow every time I push my limits. And that can be in more acute efforts like the 242 miles or 2.5 months running across the United States.
Do you feel like when you run, you're competing with yourself? Do you feel like you're running for a specific purpose, or are you just enjoying the spiritual journey that it takes you on?
I think in order to like explore that kind of more metaphysical, spiritual side of it, you have to be competing against yourself. I am drawn towards these bigger efforts that are not in a race format. And I think that's why, is because it eliminates like the ego side of it. It's like, I got to be beating that guy in front of me. And it really takes all that and moves it introspectively. And it's like, the only person I have anything to prove to right now is myself. And for me, that's what I feed off of and what means the most to me. I have tons of respect for people that are racing and podiuming or coming in last. Like I race, I definitely go compete in races, but to me, the real like big work is done more in these like just singular efforts where it's just me against me.
I always say that when I teach my fitness classes, I say it's you against you, because I really believe in that. And I've done a triathlon, I've done a half marathon, and again, you know, maybe one day I'll be half as where you are to where you are. But I think it's really interesting, like what you said, is look at the person in front of you, beat that step, or I can quit in an hour when you know you're not going to. It's like these little mind tricks that you say to yourself to keep on going. And I think that that's really cool too. And ultimately, like, you know, you got to do it for yourself. There's no reason to do it for anyone else.
If you're not doing it for yourself, if there's some other external reason, if it's to like for approval from someone else or something like that, like when it gets hard, you're not going to overcome it. Like you gotta find your why. Like I definitely like mentor some other people through big efforts. And that's one of the first things I ask them, is like, what is your why? And find it and define it for yourself. Because when the going gets tough, if that why is not there, you will quickly just walk away from it. But if your why is strong enough, you'll push through.
Well, what is your why? And also, you've accomplished so much. So do you still find the part of that, that in-depth part of your why to keep on going? Or are you kind of like, I've accomplished my why?
No, I think it's always evolving. Like as I evolve as a human, you know, when I was running across the US, the why, the external why was to create conversations about better food choices and promote the efficacy of a plant-based diet. For me, like my choices being a plant-based athlete are a lot around environmentalism. I think it's one of the strongest things we can do as an individual to help mitigate climate change. So once I set out on it, I definitely didn't want to fail because then that would show failure for this lifestyle choice that I believe so strongly in. And it, again, it's evolved and changed with each effort and each like kind of chapter of my life. I think through like the Colorado Crush, a lot of why I found I was out there once I got out there was to deal with some like unsettled feelings about mortality. And my father had passed away when I was really young. And I wanted to like, I needed to cope with that. And coming out of that, finding that I needed to define who I was as a man and my own character. And since then, a lot about my efforts have been doing what I say I'm going to do. Like when I set out on something, it's like my word is my bond. If I tell anyone I'm going to do something, I want to follow through with it. And that's really where my why is at right now, is exploring that and staying in like kind of like sharpening the sword of my character. I think that's kind of where I'm at. And I think with each one, I still try to find a reason, understand the why. And then also it's just like, now it's become like so much part of my identity. And with each effort, I grow as an individual, more people find out about me, and hopefully then I can inspire others to continue to move their body and do things. So that part of it's there for sure.
Yeah. And it's incredible. You know, your healing process from your father passing has also been through running. I think it's so cool when people find a healthy way of healing that is really beneficial to themselves too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you find that a lot within running, with ultra running, is like, I'd say at least 50% of the people in this sport come from it from a place of like substance abuse, addiction, which is usually fueled by demons. And so like finding a healthier way to like deal with those demons, I think is a lot about what the sport is about. And yeah, it's definitely been there for me in kind of those things.
Oh yeah, I could not agree more. And you also said your superpower is your vegan diet, and it's helped you smash all your records. Explain what that means and your passion behind a plant-based diet. I'm so interested by you being this ultra endurance, insane athlete, being powered by plants and having it out, you know, outlasting a Tesla. They must work. So take us through the kind of ideology behind a plant-based diet.
From a performance standpoint, I think the most basic and kind of the most like the thing that stuck out to me at first was meat causes inflammation and inflammation causes soreness. So if I can eliminate that part of my diet, I don't get as sore, and therefore I can train harder. My training load can be more, and therefore I become stronger. That's a really big part of it. When taking on these really big efforts, you know, you have a finite amount of energy that you're going to have to use throughout your day, throughout a big effort, and you get to choose how to use it. And eating foods that lack animal products is less laborious on your digestive system. So with my digestive system not having to work as hard, that leaves more energy for my legs. So on its basis, that's it. When taking on something like my transcontinental run, 2.5 months out there, I needed to be bringing things into my body that were nourishing and would build my body up. And veggies do that. Like, I mean, just think about it on a very basic level. If you were to sit like a big plate of veggies down and then a medium rare steak and just ask somebody, like say somebody dropped in from Mars and didn't understand our food, say, which one of those looks more healthy to you? Which one's going to be better for you? It's probably going to be that big plate of plants. So that's like the more performance side. And then for me, again, a lot of it goes back to environmentalism. And we have a very broken food system right now that's very linear. And in that linear system, there's a lot of inefficiencies. And the most inefficient part of that food system is the animals. We're taking a lot of crops and we're growing them, and then we're feeding them to an animal, and then our calories are coming out the other side. Well, that's really inefficient. So if you were to just pull the animal out of that equation, you've eliminated the most inefficient part of it. And therefore, it's more environmentally friendly. Like, that's just at its most core basics to me. And I feel like we're just so on the precipice of like the point of no return environmentally. I don't like think I have to explain that to anybody. I think we all understand that. And so I can't really afford a Tesla, so I'm just going to be plant-based. Like, that's the best I can do in my daily practice.
And you're inspiring me to want to go more plant-based. I'm the biggest animal lover and I love nature so much. And I know that when I have plants and I just have natural foods, that my body feels so much better. And I do feel like I can perform better too. Is there a certain staple, a food staple that you incorporate in your diet, or best kind of food before or after your workout that fuels your body and your mind?
Just keeping it clean, like as much as I can do whole food plant-based. So, you know, we often will saute veggies with like very little oil and do just like rice and beans, like really simple things. Like keeping it simple goes a long way for me. What is the acronym? KISS, keep it simple, stupid. that one's like really, really big for me. But one thing I would say too is to what you said earlier, like you eat a lot of plant-based vegan meals. I think that's really great. And one thing I like in my platform on that subject is like better is better, like not really like pushing people towards they have to be 100% vegan. Like I'm 100% plant-based, but I understand there's a lot of room between that and, you know, a full carnivorous diet, like both from performance and health reasons and environmentally. And better is better. So the more that we can all just move in that direction, I think is an easier and better way to look at it than this daunting idea of like everybody should go vegan tomorrow, because it's just like setting people up for failure and nobody wants to fail. So like the minute you do, you're like, well, I'll just revert back to right where I was. Where instead of looking at it like I've got these three opportunities to eat every day, the more plants I eat, the better it's going to be for me. It's going to be for the environment.
And also, can you determine everything that's on your plate or in everything you eat? If it's ingredients that you don't really know, you don't recognize them, maybe rethink what you're putting into your body.
Yeah, I think more than anything, like even if you're not going to go plant-based, like staying away from overly processed foods from both the health and environmental standpoint, the better off we're going to be.
And that's the easiest foundation. I mean, with the obesity problem that we have in the United States, just simple. It's easy as that, creating a simple, clean diet. And I have to ask you, what are your favorite running shoes? I've had plantar fasciitis. I know a lot of my runner friends do too. Which running shoes are the best?
Well, I think everybody's different. I'll say that. But for me, when I'm running on the road, it's the Hoka Bondis. They're like high cushion shoes. We joke like in my house, it's either if you see somebody in those shoes, they're either like a serious ultra runner or they're a geriatric, like 80-year-old.
That's the best analogy. I love it.
But those shoes for high mileage on the road are really, really good. They lower the impact. Like, I do believe we were born to run. I don't think we were born to run on asphalt. So finding a shoe that really allows to like absorb some of that impact is really important. And then on trails, I use the Hoka Speed Goats. Those are where I'm at right now. Always kind of looking and exploring new things, but I tend to go back to those. Like,
nice. Have to check it out. Robbie, I want to ask you my last question. I mentioned this before. Our motto at Fit Food Junkies is addicted to health. So what are you addicted to?
I'm definitely addicted to running. I think we can definitely say that. But new experiences, like just trying to live life to its fullest, in that coming through staying away from mundane activities and always searching for something that's fresh and new that helps me to grow and get out of my comfort zone.
Yes, incredible. And how can people find you and connect with you?
The easiest way right now is through my Instagram, and it's just my name, Robbie Ballinger. I'm working through right now building out some plans for a platform which will help to showcase other athletes doing big endeavors, but we're a couple of weeks out from announcing it. So if you check out my Instagram, it's through there. And we'll be announcing also two films that we've been working on, one from the Colorado Crush and one from the Tesla Challenge.
So, where is that going to be streaming?
Probably on a YouTube channel that will be defined through this larger platform we're working on. Definitely the Colorado Crush will be on there. And then the 10,000 one, I think, will probably live on their website on 10,000.com.
Can't wait. I can't wait to watch it. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for sharing your obsession, your passion, your why with us today, and so much more. You're motivating me to rediscover my why and to also maybe a quarter of the way at last a Tesla, maybe one day. But Robbie, thank you so much. It's really such a privilege, and you truly like inspire and motivate so many people out there. And I can't wait to share this with everyone.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I hope you guys are insanely inspired and motivated from Robbie today. Make sure to follow Robbie at Robbie Ballinger and connect with him and me at Fit Food Junkies. Let us know your main takeaway from the interview today. I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.